Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. So yesterday, in the middle of all the Russian stuff, we told you, and I got a lot of social media response, about this headline story at Pajamas Media. Gym professors are being taught, or could be soon, to their headline, shun team sports to promote social justice. Now think back to your days in gym. Maybe you have deep-sixed them. I think gym's a lot different than when I was teaching high school even, let alone when you may have been going to high school. What should kids get in gym? And is it, you know, obvious that with the obesity epidemic, that it's, and I can't blame it all on gym, that it's a difficult proposition? Joining us is one of the people who's writing a textbook and is the author of Moving Social Justice Education in Gym Teacher Education. Jennifer Walton-Fizette is on the Spring Dance Hot Tubs hotline with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Jennifer, welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Well, we read this with a lot of interest. Whenever you see the introduction of social justice into a place like gym, shouldn't the argument be gym is about getting out of this obesity crisis and doing all that? What in the world would you be doing with social justice there?
Well, I want to make a couple of points. First of all, I don't refer to physical education as gym. Education happens in the gymnasium, as in the space.
Okay.
It's a very educational program. And so gym is short from gymnasium just for the location. And so what happens as soon as we call it gym, you get out of that, it's a very educational context. So I just want to make sure that we're calling it physical education. Second, in physical education, just like every other content area, we have standards. And our standards is not just about psychomotor. Psychomotor means the doing aspect, the physical aspect of performing. We also have the affective domain, and that is sportspersonship, how do you get along with one another, being socially and personally responsible. And then also the cognitive, having an understanding of what it is.
Okay, well, let me give you a specific, and I don't object to any of those. I get your point. This is much different than throwing a few basketballs out there. In the past, I kind of said that. But why would we de-emphasize, it seems to be when I read your stuff, first of all, why would we de-emphasize competition? Shouldn't this be a place, because kids may not be getting, not enough kids, Jennifer, play enough sports that they develop on their own and pick up games. It's hard to do that now. So why de-emphasize competition?
Well, I don't think it's about de-emphasizing competition. And just to clarify, I never said that team sports was bad. I was a team sport player, too. I'm a huge team sport fan, and I teach about team sports. It's just providing alternatives. So really, it's about giving students a choice, particularly by the time they get to high school. At elementary school, they need to learn the motor skills. If you don't learn the motor skills at a certain age, then they're not going. It's going to be much harder to learn that at the age of 12. So learning that is very important. But by the time they get to high school, they should have a choice. So if you are playing team sports, if you are doing any sport-related game, you should give the children options of what they want, either a competitive environment
okay.
or more of a recreational environment.
All right,
so
fair enough. Okay,
well,
let's talk about what's the social justice component. What is it that, give us some of the things you think match that label that you try to inculcate in physical education?
Yeah, so, I mean, we try to hit all the social justice issues. Gender and ability is a huge part in PE that we see pretty pervasively. So a big thing, even the article that ended up being written, is that males are more skillful than girls, which is not accurate. We know that there are a lot of very, very skillful females. We do know that there's a lot of females that do not enjoy physical education, just like low-performing, lower-skilled boys. And what happens is we tend to genderize all boys like X, Y, and Z activities, all girls like X, Y, and Z activities, and try to segregate them. And so we try to teach them about what has gender expectations and what has been socially constructed and deconstruct that so so they have more opportunities for themselves of what they want to perform. The other thing is ability, and it's not just low ability but high ability, but we are very much in an inclusion model. And so in PE, we get a lot of students, children who have special needs and a whole variety, whether it's autism spectrum, whether they're in wheelchairs, a wide variety of that, and we need to be in an inclusive manner. It is not a exclusionary component anymore. And so those are two areas that we certainly talk a lot about it.
I wanted to ask you then. All right. Those things seem okay to me. But how about sports like lacrosse, badminton are mentioned, that too many sports are often white-oriented or otherwise racially stereotyped. Is that part of a social justice issue? And how do you inculcate that?
Yep. And first of all, I never said that. I just said that we have to consider sports that are beyond basketball, football, and track and field. And so when I get students of color in my own program, and they have only played those three sports, if they come and play badminton or lacrosse, they are very low skilled. They cannot perform those sports. But in a lot of school districts that we have, there are much more sports that, if it's lacrosse, if it's badminton, they are more considered, for lacrosse anyway, that it is a more affluent sport, which means that is usually more white students that are performing those sports. I think they're wonderful to offer. But the whole point of what I was trying to convey is getting away from the big three of offering basketball, football, sometimes volleyball, and track and field in your PE programs to make it more diverse that will hit across a wide variety, because you first started off saying about the obesity issue.
Yes.
And the thing is, two things related to that. We need to provide them with a wide array of content and some that are more individual activities or non-sport related, so that a young person can identify themselves to be physically active outside of school. That's our ultimate goal as PE teachers, is for these students to be physically active for a lifetime.
Okay, but let me ask you the burning question, said tongue-in-cheek.
Sure.
Is rope climbing ever going to go away? What is it with the rope climbing, or do you object to that? That would be a good revolution. Get rid of that.
Yeah, I completely object to that.
Okay.
I object to dodgeball. I mean, think about it. And
now, wait a minute. What's wrong with dodgeball, Jennifer?
Well, because dodgeball uses students as targets. Whenever do we say, okay, let's go and peg someone as hard as we possibly can? What happens in those games are those that are very skillful, they dominate. Those that know that they're not good, it's the most embarrassing activity for almost any kid. If they are not very strong at throwing or catching, which is the majority of students in PE, then they just go ahead, hit me, I'm going to get out.
Well, and wait a minute, though. Let's talk about it now. We got to somewhere where I think I differ with you. You can't have, I taught in one high school where they inflated volleyballs throwing at each other. That's ridiculous. But doesn't volleyball teach cunning, skill, physical dexterity? Doesn't it reinforce all that, both the thrower and the person being thrown at?
No, because you can do so many other activities. I mean, you can teach all of those, aside from the throwing, just from tag games. And the thing is, it's also dodgeball, it's also elimination. So you're hit, you're out, and then you sit there. So that actually goes against the argument of, oh, we need to have children move more in PE. And so we try to get away from target, using children as targets, and trying to get away from elimination type of games. And so you can play dodging and fleeing, absolutely. That's where tag games certainly come into play that you can have. And then instead of somebody gets tagged and they're out, you have a different activity that they do, and then they come back in. So it's a constant, continuous activity that they're involved in.
It seems as if, though, this is not your objection, or at least the article when I read it is the average American high school, middle school, junior high, are they doing these things or not? Are they doing what you say should be social justice into physical education?
No, and the research where the moving into the future, it's a whole special issue that's coming out from one of our international journals that will be out in September. It's available online, actually, right now. But a lot in the USA, it is not happening very much that they're addressing social justice issues. It's not even happening in teacher education. In PE, it was social justice issues. There's a very few of us. And so I've been working very closely with scholars in the UK, New Zealand, Australia, and other countries, and this is their focus. Australia and New Zealand, they combine health and PE together. It's in a health and PE program, and everything is from a social
perspective. Okay, now what would you say to those listening to this, though, or thinking, look, on a grand scale, it sounds okay, but they're wary of indoctrination. When you hear the term social justice, that's a pretty loaded term.
Sure. It can be.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is it that you want to have kids come along through this? I still haven't gotten what the social justice issue, if you give us two or three of them, what they might be.
Well, they're a wide range. And actually, like you said, we're working on a book that really addresses all the different isms. And the thing is, it's not teach about social justice and not teach about PE. PE is the medium. And of course, they're going to learn this through activity. But I want children, our youth, to be critical consumers of sport, of physical activity, of fitness. I want them to question and critique. And so fitness is a huge thing right now, and it's becoming a huge part of PE programs. Our body, PE, is very public. Our bodies are constantly on display. If we don't teach them about who they are and deconstruct what they see in the media of what should a female body or a male body be like, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Asian, which are all different type of body types, then they are going to continuously try to strive to get to this image that is not attainable. And so we want to try to deconstruct these socially constructed messages.
Does that mean they can be overweight, though, and you're okay with that?
The goal, of course, is for them to try to be healthy. We want them to be healthy as much as possible. So we want to educate them with the appropriate content knowledge to have so that they can, do things to get them to become more healthy. So, I have some very good friends. They are, legally considered overweight or even obese, who are the most physically active and eat healthy every single day. Some of it is genetics. Some of it is not. Some are eating unhealthy, and they're not active. And so I want to get children to feel like they are capable of being physical movers regardless of their body type, regardless of their body size, regardless of whether they can go to a country club because their parents can afford it, or I don't even have a park next to me that I can go to, that you can have access to anything, to being physically active, no matter who you are, who your identity is. But I want them to know who their identity is. I want them to know who they are. I want them to know they have options and what those options are. And it's not just what you see on TV. It's not just what you see in the media. I want to expose them to other things.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on today. And we'll look forward to see when your book is out and to see how this is received. Jennifer, thank you. Thanks for coming to Philadelphia today.
Thank you so much.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.